Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Tracy.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm well.
Oh, that's good.
Look, it's really foggy out there.
Yeah, it's been foggy for several days.
It's like different shades of pale. What is that song?
Oh, a whiter shade of pale.
A whiter shade of pale.
It feels
today's
like
weather,
we're
a whiter
living.
Shade of pale.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun if you did weather broadcasts all referencing art and music? That would be lovely.
Yeah. Actually, didn't somebody do that about Star Wars?
Did they?
Some weather girl did the entire weather forecast with Star Wars references.
Mm.
Yeah, it was great.
Wow.
I think you can find it online.
Umbrella you shall bring.
Okay.
Here, it's rubber boots you shall wear. It's
yes.
Pretty mucky.
It is.
Anyway,
it's like living
coming.
In a cloud.
Yes.
Yeah. So you had an interesting experience recently.
I did.
Which inspired this whole show.
Yeah, well, the whole show. I mean, it's not just one thing, but yeah. So the other day I was on Facebook and this suggested post popped up. It suggested that I should go to Kamloops and take an Arduino lighting workshop at Kamloops, the Kamloops Makerspace. And I thought, oh, isn't that interesting? I don't even know what that means. I wonder why they picked me. But as it turns out, Arduinos are mini computers that you can train to do what we used to do in electronics, you know, put all the little things together.
Right. Right. Like Raspberry Pi.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
So I had no idea. I just liked that word Arduino and I had fancy lights and I thought, oh, okay, that'll be fun. So I signed up my whole family, cause I like for the boys to understand, what else there is in terms of
especially
computer.
Technological things,
yeah.
Right? They're the age where everything's just, they're absorbing it so
yes.
fast.
And it's a great source of learning for them. You know, like we've talked about this before. My son learned to solve the Rubik's Cube on
YouTube. Yeah.
And they listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
And they, you know, this is an important source of information. So I thought, okay, let's learn what about Arduino.
Mm-hmm.
And lighting and this
well thing. And programming, right? Like that's a huge thing to be able to code and program and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I signed up and then we drove to Kamloops last Thursday and had a tiny bit of trouble finding it because Victoria Street ends and then Victoria. Anyway, I got a bit turned around, but we finally got there. It's an older building that used to be a men's shelter, being rented to the Kamloops Makerspace Society. It has three floors. So we go in and there's like picnic tables and everybody's all cozy sitting together and they hand out these little Ziploc bags full of all the components, the lighting, the little electronic bits. And
fun.
And so your computer has, you can get programming, open source programming off the internet through your computer into this Arduino and it will tell lights what to do. Like you can tell the lights, okay, only show me red.
Yeah.
And then show me red, red, green, red, red, green, blue, green, right? So you can program lights. Well, there were a couple glitches, but still that's the point of a maker shed or a maker space is you learn together. So there were two facilitators at the workshop. Totally helpful. It was great. It was, I feel like I saw the future and I liked it.
Ooh.
So anyway, as I, because we only had the one laptop and let's face it, I'm not the one that's going to be doing this. The boys are. I just started wandering around and someone said, would you like a tour? I'm like, would I? Anyway, so the main room in there is called a hackerspace.
Yeah.
Which is great because people just bring all their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There was an old, do you remember those old photocopiers? In schools, they had like the turn
the
handle,
crank thing?
The crank
yeah.
handle. Well, they had
it was
one
like
of those
a printing press.
Yes, like a personal printing press, and you had to print on those things and then crank it out. Oh, awesome! anyway, they had one of those, which they were using for parts and components. They had two 3D printers.
Wow!
Yes,
that's big.
Yes, and all sorts of stuff like old electronics that you could disassemble.
Oh,
it was wonderful. Then upstairs they had a woodworking room with a CNC machine. So you program a pattern and the machine cuts it out for you. So they were making these cool little benches out of a piece of plywood.
Right.
It's very loud. But and they had a painting room and a metal room. I mean, it's genius.
Mm-hmm.
Very messy. This is not...
But that's fantastic.
Shishi, high design.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of people. And the membership works in such a way that for $50 a month, you can go on certain days. And the more you pay, the more often you can go. Oh, and then okay. you can be like the dude in charge and have keys and go whenever you want. I don't know what that membership costs, but there must be people there every day, all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
they have a kitchen with food and snacks and a dog.
It's so multidisciplinary.
It's wonderful.
And huge. It's become, it's exploded all over the world. It's so exciting.
It is very exciting. And I think what's so interesting about it is, in a way, I'd say in the last 50 years, maybe 25, 30, we've sort of de-skilled ourselves.
Yeah.
Everybody relies on someone else to figure out how to fix the problem.
Yeah.
Whereas, and we're starting to get to the point where, well, wait a minute, if I can fix that.
Mm-hmm.
And technology is so much cheaper now
mm-hmm.
or accessible. Everybody can be a coder.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know how to use a power saw. I don't know how to make anything out of wood. I wish I knew those things.
Yeah. Well, from what I understand, that is the whole philosophy behind the makerspace is mm-hmm. peer-to-peer learning.
Mm-hmm.
So you
inter-peer
with a skill.
Learning.
Yeah.
Would
you
be
with
great.
A skill share your skill.
Yes.
And then the tools are there as part of a community tool shed to be able to share and use.
Yes.
And so we learn from each other.
And it's all part of the sharing economy.
Yeah.
And it's very recent. Like it goes back to 2005.
Yeah. Well, so
I mean, this started happening when my children were alive. That's how recent.
Yeah, right? I know. Yeah. That's the thing. There's not much history here.
No.
Well, there's a sort of a geek coding like a geek grouping sort of thing happening in the late 90s.
Yes.
Where they started to use open software and you know, and do some peer-to-peer learning in terms of technology and programming. So that's kind of the beginning.
Yes.
But yeah, in terms of this kind of thing. And you know what was a big spurring thing was the 3D printer.
Okay.
Because what happens is with your idea, you remember how if you had a brilliant idea, if you didn't have $1 million to build a prototype,
yes,
your idea just sat in the back of your brain and never materialized.
No.
But now with a 3D printer, you can make one thing.
One prototype.
And then
it's true. Prototyping is very important to show, especially when you're looking for capital, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to prove the concept.
Yeah. And I mean, to retool a factory to mm-hmm. make your one thing, that would be just about impossible.
Well, it is.
It's
not impossible. It's super expensive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you can imagine with a 3D printer, you could have a market of one.
Wow.
And make a thing.
Totally.
For the one person that wants this one thing.
I am totally all about the 3D printer right now.
Yeah.
I super want one.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what I'd do with it. I just want people here to be able to.
Yeah. Is there one in Salmon Arm?
I'm sure there are privately owned ones, but is there a public one? Not yet.
Not yet. But here's the thing about makerspaces.
But so, if it were up to me.
Makerspaces have been started by like maker societies.
Yes.
Because the maker culture has started like the one in Kamloops is that, right? And they can take up spaces like.
It should be called MacGyver School.
Sure, let's go with
that.
That's
what it is.
It is. Except you're not putting necessarily stuff together with chewing gum and rusty razor blades, but still.
But you could if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Yes.
So libraries are a great source of this kind of space, mm-hmm. and it's because it's innovation space, and libraries are trying to figure out what their future purpose is going to be. If books are not going to be necessarily the primary source of learning, then what are they going to be there
totally.
For?
Totally. And it's the cross-discipline piece that keeps coming back, right?
Yeah.
I know when I went to the Federation of Canadian Municipalities in Edmonton, I was blown away that they had a 3D printer in their library.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow.
Our engineer just flashed a sign that said there's a 3D printer at Jackson School.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay.
And schools are another source because schools are starting to find that having a makerspace within the school helps their students, plus helps them bridge to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what they're having to help support the funding to buy their cool stuff? I just want to say this like as if it really exists. A make sale.
A make sale. Are they really?
Yeah. So they can make stuff. The kids make stuff at their makerspace.
That is such a good
they
idea.
Sell the products.
Yes.
And they raise funds to buy more big tools.
Fantastic.
Like laser cutters. And
you know. If you're listening and you belong to a board of directors that does funding for community projects, please, please, please put this on your list.
Yeah.
At least investigate.
Yeah.
This concept. And to me, the power of the cross generation. Right? Like, I don't know how to woodwork. I would love for someone to teach me how to woodwork, mm-hmm. but I would love to do it in a public space. I'm just not going to knock at my neighbor's door and say, hey, you want to teach me how to woodwork? That,
yeah.
You know, so all of this excess space we have,
yeah.
or may soon have, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to really think about what else could we do there.
Well, and that's been the, like when in my research, that was a common headline. Closed schools being repurposed for makerspaces.
Yes.
So whenever a school district has to close a small school, this is a fantastic purpose yes. because then you're still educating people, but yes. they're educating each other, using each other's assets and yes. knowledge and experience. Yeah, it's perfect.
I'm so excited about it. Yeah. I really am. And again, it's not like I'm the one who wants to get in there, although I would like to learn how to woodwork, but I'd like to make a birdhouse or something. And we, you know, we've done projects like that at the gallery years mm-hmm. ago and, mm-hmm. and the look on their faces when they actually make something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And this idea that you can solve your own problem. Whereas I think at least for the last 25 years, we've been paying other people to solve our problems
yes.
for us.
Yes. Right. And then we're accepting their solutions as like, okay, yes. that, I guess that is the only solution.
Yes.
Whereas we're, you know, we're not even exploring other options.
No, we're not exploring enough.
Yeah.
We're not even, you know.
And I mean, that's the
same. In the 60s, we were going to space. We were exploring. And then all of that, you know.
Well, when it costs and $70 million yes. to fill up the tank with gas.
Yeah.
That's kind of a lot of money. Right?
That's true.
So, but you know, I mean, the peer-to-peer learning thing, like that's, what was I going to say about that? That was the thing. The consumerism shift. So we're no longer wanting to buy off the shelf, right? We talked about that a few shows yes. ago, where we want to curate our buying experience.
Yes.
We want things to be custom designed for us, custom yes. made, a yes. custom tour,
yeah.
right? Like things are for us. And this is the same
yeah.
thing.
It's prosumerism.
Yeah. So yeah. the products that we get are our ideas
yes.
rather than someone else's idea of what we should have.
It's wonderful.
It is. It's pretty exciting.
You know, and then it comes back to the sharing economy,
mm-hmm.
which started with, you know, Facebook. And I know we sort of discount the power, but there's so much power in sharing information, whether it's your neighbor's bake sale or some brilliant article from The Atlantic
yeah.
or a recipe for barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
Like you can make your own barbecue sauce.
Yeah. I know you don't have to buy
yes.
barbecue sauce in a bottle at the store.
You don't.
No.
That's not how it's made. That's not how it
comes. And maybe the person down the street from you knows how to do that. So, you know, like having a big makerspace kitchen,
yes.
like the community kitchen idea, right. I think has been in Enderby. There's a community kitchen somewhere. You know, those kinds of things are fantastic, mm-hmm. but they also are hard to fund because,
yeah.
you know, small business has and, limited
the
resources.
Minute there's food involved.
Yeah,
it becomes a bit tricky.
Yeah.
Or equipment or people, strangers interacting in a public space. So if you were to get a master carpenter, say, to spend time in a high school, you know, there's a lot of criminal checks and insurance and mm-hmm. lots of things have to happen there. So how do we feed this kind of organic thing?
Yeah, without letting insurance companies.
Without letting it totally get out of control or get consumerized. Right.
Right.
I don't know, but we'll work on that.
We're talking about makerspace.
And we're making a radio show while we do it.
This is a makerspace.
Isn't it?
It is.
Totally.
It's open. It's volunteer
yes.
run. And you can come and learn from your peers how to have a radio
show.
How
to make a radio show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like talk to our engineer. He didn't know anything
nope.
until he showed up one day and Jeanette said, well, you press this button, you
yeah.
turn that knob. And
yeah.
And
it really.
You figured it out.
Yeah. And it feeds our, I mean, we're not doing it for the loot. We're doing it because it's a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
And it's important work.
It is.
And an important conversation. And then we take the show and we turn it into a podcast and then the podcast goes on the website. And
so then it's a product
yes.
that gets consumed
yes.
at other people's leisure.
Yes.
Right? Like
so
they get to prosume
yes.
it.
And we're, look at us, part of the sharing economy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I try and share the podcast because I know, for example, my students at the college who are sort of 18 to 28. At the beginning of every course, I ask them to introduce themselves as a consumer.
Mm.
So, hi, my name is female, 19 to 24, car driver, grocery shopper, homeowner, you know, student, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And I always say radio listener, and they say, no, well, except for podcasts.
Ah.
Right? I'm like, do you watch TV? No. Do you listen to the radio? No. Are you on YouTube? Yes, but I don't watch the ads. So a lot of this millennial generation lives advertising free.
Wow.
They don't read the local paper.
That's so interesting. What kind of effect that's going
to
have?
You are hard to reach then. Do you get mail? They're like, mail? Who gets mail anymore? They don't have mailboxes.
Oh, wow.
A lot of them live at home. So, it is in terms of how do you reach these people, mm-hmm. it's all about sharing information in spaces where they will go.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's such a different world. Mm-hmm. It changed so fast.
Yeah. It's so fast.
Yeah.
We live in such interesting times.
We do.
I mean, everybody says that, but I feel like we're right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
You know, and this, the sharing economy, Uber, Airbnb, those are the big ones, but they're so on such little wee tiny micro levels, just like the makerspace in Kamloops is a teeny tiny, but it's also, this workshop was sponsored by the National Research Council of Canada. They want particularly young people to give them a venue to go out and figure mm-hmm. this stuff out, because they know in that crowd is the next
The next innovator.
Great invention. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing about innovation. If you don't provide the environment for innovation, then it mm-hmm. won't happen. If mm-hmm. we're just all putting our boots on and going to work every day and buying mm-hmm. stuff off the shelf, we're not going to innovate.
No.
And we're not faced with horrible problems on our little tiny scales right now.
Some of our best solutions came from some of our worst problems.
Yeah. And right now, I mean, our biggest problems are kind of sheltered from us, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's not very visible, especially mm-hmm. here in Salmon Arm, mm-hmm. right? Like, we don't see horrible effects of climate change. Mm-hmm. We're not seeing war. We're not seeing, we're not in the middle of it.
Right.
So we're not trying to innovate our way out of it.
Yes.
So where do we go to find inspiration for that then? Well, it's the, it's the whole
But
intergenerational skill sharing, right? Like that's
teach me something I don't know.
Yeah.
And I guess we should say that we came into today's show, neither of us know particularly much about the topic, but we don't need to know. We can still be curious about.
Yeah.
I guess sometimes I think people are afraid to try because they don't know. They've never done that before.
Confidence isn't there, right?
It's not I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
So let's do it. Let's figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's figure it out.
Let's figure it out.
Well, in the hackerspaces, so the whole thing started with the hackerspace.
Yes.
Was really the same concept except with software. So these hackers, and not hackers in a terrible way, but people who just like to pull apart, programs and software and make something new.
Right.
We're getting together to inspire each other to make something new. And like, I'll use this. You're using that. Let's put it together. See what we can make happen.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's kind of was the inspiration. Now I just wanted to point out something interesting. So,
well, it better be interesting now that you said it was interesting.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I find things interesting that maybe you don't find interesting.
No, I know. I'm just kidding.
So I learned quite a lot about Vancouver's Maker Lab.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. Where is that? I know they have an innovation center at the library.
Yeah. I think this is different.
Oh, I need to go there.
Maybe it isn't, though. I don't know.
Well, Vancouver's...
It's big.
Big.
So it was actually... Yeah. So the way that one works is you buy a membership. It's $100 a month. Mm-hmm. With your membership, you get 60 minutes of use of any of the big, the big tools. Mm-hmm. But you just have to pay extra for more time mm-hmm. on those tools. But, I mean, the key, though, is the innovation or the collaborative working space, too, right? Like being able to work with other people and use each other to bounce ideas off us.
And I should tell you, if you do go to one of these makerspaces, do not expect someone to deliver the answer.
Yeah.
Most questions are answered with another question.
Ah.
So some people might find that frustrating because they're like, I paid you money and you're supposed to teach me how to do this. Like the Arduino thing, there were some glitches.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. It's a makerspace.
Yeah.
There was no expectation that this facilitator was going to deliver a solution.
Right.
The expectation was you're here, you want to figure it out, giddy up.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. And it's a good exercise for us that we don't get very often.
No.
Because I know
work, I'm always having to deliver the solution.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just want to say to clients, okay, you need to do the work on this.
Yeah.
Giddy up. Right?
It's word of the day.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Interesting.
It's okay. Yes. So, but I can talk about the Vancouver one in a minute, because as I was learning about this and about the history of the hacker spaces, it was interesting that I found there was some feminist hacker spaces developed because...
I was just thinking that it was more of a boy thing.
It was a boy thing. And you know what they call it? It's so funny. Brogrammer culture. Brogrammer culture. So programmers who are all boys.
Yes.
And so the feminist collectives.
There's a show on TV called Projects too. It's two brothers.
Oh.
But we don't, you're right. We don't. Yeah. Okay. Keep going.
Well, it's just that there's a whole lot of them. There's one in Seattle and this was a big thing in Vienna. The makerspace kind of things kind of started there.
Yes.
Germany and then the United States. And anyway, but so, and then in Montreal. And so all within about 3 years, all of these feminist programming hacker spaces popped up.
Yes.
To support women in the programming field, in the technology field. So I thought that was really good.
Wow.
And very healthy, because this programmer culture has really been excluding women in the, mm-hmm. in the digital mm-hmm. technological field. So, mm-hmm. yeah. So that's that's another innovative and positive, you know, result of these kinds of
yes.
collaborative spaces
yes.
is that people who find themselves kind of pushed out of that industry are finding a way to make
to get back in this way.
Yeah.
It's true. Well, yeah. I was reading online that, like oftentimes, young female students are very strong at coding, but you know, we're not sort of in a cultural space where that's always encouraged. Well,
definitely.
But it's coming, right?
It is, but it's a long time
coming. I mean, let's think, when I was in grade 8, girls did not do shop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. When I was in high school, girls did not do shop or mechanics or electronics. I didn't even, it's like a whole wing of the school that were only boys were allowed.
Yeah. And you did home ec.
I did home ec.
Yeah.
I'm terrible at it, but I did. And then just as I was graduating high school, computing was being introduced.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the smartest boys and maybe two or three of the super smart girls. Mm. It's almost like they were recruited. I don't remember anybody ever asking me, "Hey, Louise, you want to sign up for computers?" I didn't even know what that meant.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
In my high school, we got a little computer lab. There were six.
Yes.
And so you could take computers. It was just called computers. And it was, I don't know what the heck they were, but they were black screens and green letters.
Yes, yes, yes. And DOS, CD,
yep.
And we had, splash.
And I got to take the
backsplash.
Class.
Backsplash.
Backsplash. You're thinking home decor now.
Yeah, whoops. Backslash.
Backslash.
And backsplash.
Yeah.
Oh,
so in a way that was like program writing, right?
Yes.
Programming. So it was a weird question and answer program that we actually just developed. That
yes.
was that, and that was, I'm sure, grade 12.
Wow.
So it just was starting when left.
That's why it's such interesting times.
Yeah.
And when I went to Ottawa U, there was a computer lab in the basement. Again, ooh. Mostly fellas.
Yes.
I had to go because I had an economics class, and in our course, it was sort of like the original, I guess it would be like the original Minecraft. You had to build a village and feed the poor. And it was an international development class. And so you'd be asked all these questions like, the king wants you to pave the road to his palace. Yes or no? Yes. Right? You need to remove certain percentage of the basket of goods from all the citizens to do so. Do you still want to pave the road to the palace? No.
Yeah.
Right? So they get you through this little series, and then at the end it would be like, you are a good international developer. This is not a field for you, or whatever, right? So in the end I figured it out. So
oh wow.
I got a good grade,
I wonder if anybody out there remembers a game called Oil Barons.
It was
the first computer game that I ever experienced.
Yeah.
And it was about, it's that kind of a thing where you as an oil company had to decide whether you were going to drill somewhere and you know what you had to do. You had to clear cut the forest. You're going to do that. And right. Like it was that kind of concept.
Same idea. For the scenario.
Yeah.
Real life case studies.
And building a city and getting your workers. And yeah, it was really.
Oh, wow. See,
I know. And that
maybe
was
that was
back.
What it was called.
Well, no, I mean, there's probably lots
there
of them.
Oil. Was there oil?
I just remember that.
But I remember feeling immersed in a world that I had, like, do I even belong here?
So
it was like
new.
Twilight Zone,
yeah,
right? And they would be out.
Well, because
late
nobody had done that yet. It wasn't like a field that had a 100-year history.
No.
So brand new. Yeah.
But it felt like everyone there was an expert.
Yeah.
And I was just bumbling along trying to figure out. Remember the paper? You'd have to line it up perfectly.
Yeah, yeah. So with the little holes in the edges.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That was our first printer, too. Yeah. Like, we had a dot matrix printer in university do our papers on.
And so I feel like that taking my boys to Arduino was, in a way, my way of saying, hey, look, it's the future.
Yeah. Okay, I gotta tell you a little bit about the Vancouver one. So it's so, like, they have so many tools at the one in Vancouver. They have everything from laser cutters and CNC routers, like you were talking about, and 3D printers, vinyl cutters, lots of woodworking tools. They have an electronics lab, so they do the programmable LCD or LEDs. And
that's
stuff.
Arduino.
Yeah,
yeah,
and they have Raspberry Pis. Same concept, right? The little tiny credit card size computer,
tiny,
right?
Yeah, so little.
And they have all kinds of big software programs like SketchUp, right? Where you do the 3D.
Oh, Google SketchUp.
Yeah, and 3D scanners. They have what they call a soft shop.
Yes.
So they have industrial sewing machines and industrial sergers.
Oh,
and,
wow. Yeah.
So you can go to town on like big production kind of fabric stuff.
Does our library have that? I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean,
and then they have a whole bunch of photography stuff, Lightbox. They got a GoPro, right? Like all these kind of things, I guess, library-ish, where you check it out.
Like a lending library.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what I found interesting is that some of the makers, because they have a maker store in Vancouver, and so some of the makers sell their product there, which is really lovely.
Totally going there.
Yeah. And there's everything from a boat builder and home decor people that use salvaged materials.
Yes, yes.
Which is awesome. And there's jewelers and people making stuff with beeswax. And there's even a person that makes firefighting equipment there at the Maker Lab. Yeah, it's crazy. And then, but the one that caught my eye.
Tell me about this.
Was this lady who's a seamstress and uses all the industrial sewing machines to make baby things. And one of her baby things is the baby burrito. Aww. And it's a blanket.
Yes.
A baby blanket that has like, you know, lettuce and tomato sort of fabric thing so that when you wrap your baby, he looks like a baby. A burrito.
Aww, so fun.
I told my kids about it last night and they're like, I don't even have a baby and I want one of those. Maybe we could get adult sized burrito blankets so we could wrap ourselves and look like a giant burrito.
So funny.
It is. So anyway.
And what a rush you get, right? Like, I know that the courses that I loved the most were things like pottery, and I loved art.
Yeah.
And I liked calculus because I was problem solving.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
And I remember thinking in English.
Abstract thought.
Like, say, I don't know, classic literature. What could I possibly bring to the Shakespeare conversation that hasn't already been said?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Whereas other things, if it was pottery, I could make something that had never been made before.
That's right.
It's the dopamine.
Yeah. 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 It's important to recognize that the origins of this being the hacker space isn't the hackers that you see in the movies where they're secretly getting into
taking down
security or companies or whatever. This is
they're stealing credit card information.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
those kinds of hackers.
No. These kinds of hackers are just people that were developing open software and were making things available to everybody so that we could all learn how to program and how to make products that were solving problems. So I wanted to just say what the hacker ethic was about with these hacker spaces, these guys getting, or these people getting together to do technological things that inspired the whole, it's like a technological DIY.
Yes.
So their hacker ethic includes freedom in the sense of autonomy, as well as of free access and circulation of information, distrust of authority, that is, opposing the traditional industrial top-down style of organization, embracing the concept of learning by doing and peer-to-peer learning processes, a true philosophical approach to production, which is now referred to as constructivism.
There we go.
Yeah. So that's really what their philosophy was just
making... Who do you think called them hackers? Did they call themselves hackers? Or is it like the art movement when people, the Fauvists, they call them the Fauvists because they thought
they were the wild beasts.
The wild beasts.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Sometimes they just take a word that's been given to them and they own it. Right?
Yes.
You just take it and say, that sounds fine.
I'll be that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Just owning it.
Yes.
So, all the way back in 2006, Paul Bohm, he came up with a fundraising strategy that he based on the Street Performer Protocol in Vienna, Austria. And so he started Meta Lab. And so the whole fundraising...
Meta Lab? Oh, Meta, like testing.
Yeah.
Meta, okay. Big Meta, big.
Yeah. And so he became its director. And then by 2007, he started Hackerspaces. And he started a website that listed all the hackerspaces that were popping up and also prepared a package to teach people how to fundraise to build hackerspaces and makerspaces.
Well, we totally need one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all about kind of repurposing spaces and places and community gathering places, right, mm-hmm. to do this. This mm-hmm. is not about, okay, now we need a sponsor to build us a new building.
No.
No, this is about using what we've got
yes.
to be innovative.
It's part of the ethics and the,
yep.
yes,
it yep.
makes a good point. They're called, so... Makerspaces, hackerspaces, also tech shops and fab labs. I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, fab labs. And in Australia, they're called sheds.
Yeah, maker sheds.
Yeah.
Yes, I've heard that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is cool because.
Shed's good.
Yeah, it's yeah. just like a shed. You just go work in your shed.
I know, there's no pretense. Not, you don't have to get dressed up or anything.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. So lots of places are having them. They can be just a little room in the corner or they can be whole buildings that have yes. been repurposed. But funding comes from memberships mm-hmm. and sponsors mm-hmm. and in some cases like the maker store idea where you have a make sale
sure.
Where they fund themselves and
or foundations or
yeah and Kickstarter has yes. been big in this kind of thing to get these things off mm-hmm. the ground, and often just the community of makers that already exist
right
will get together and say we're going to do this,
and it's the wide opening of knowledge, right? So it used to be only certain people could do certain things,
yeah,
right?
And only certain people could teach certain
yes.
things. That's kind of the structure I think that they're trying to get mm-hmm. away from, saying, look, we've got a lot of mm-hmm. skills as a people, and we can't be kind of always saying, it's, well, if
nobody
we're not
has
qualified,
their station anymore. It's not like Downton Abbey as
right.
much as I like that show.
Yeah, I know. But, it's awesome.
Yes.
But the point, though, mm-hmm. is that, like you said earlier, we're kind of de-skilling ourselves.
Yes.
And so why would we want to do that when we're entering into a most challenging phase yes. of our planet's history here? And then, and let's make sure we all have the skills.
And it meets all the check marks for me. We're reusing existing material. Mm-hmm. We're salvaging things that otherwise had no life. We're teaching. We're opening up knowledge, is vast banks of knowledge. Just unlock. Here's the key. Go.
Yeah. Because it's in our brains.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
Because we're using our brains.
Yes.
Like our collective brains.
Yes.
It's not just about only the brains that have been trained and, mm-hmm. you know, two master's degrees and a PhD mm-hmm. to, you know, to be able to teach a thing. No, we're all using our
yes.
brains. No matter what your level of experience or education is, if you've got a skill and you can share,
yes,
we're
and
doing it.
And this whole open source concept is so important on all kinds of policy levels. Mm-hmm. Some cities, all of their data is open, and they let the community use the data to build things that help the community.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
So you mean like all the demographic information?
Yes, demographic or traffic counts and sewer rates and water rate, like the flow of water and lights,
yeah.
Traffic, all sorts of things. They totally open up the grid. I mean, not private information, public information.
Yeah.
But they openly share it, and then that information, that data, those data are used by makers to make improvements.
Wow.
Right? So this idea that everybody, no, that's your purview, that's my purview, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
It's not.
Well,
that's
and it's
changing so rapidly, and it's hard for formal structures to adopt and adapt
yeah.
to that.
Yeah.
But they're going to have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and because what's happening now is the makerspace has gone digital
mm-hmm.
to the point where they're talking about maker, it's like idea maker
yes.
spaces. So it's about online communities. I think there's a company that started one called Maker City.
Okay.
And it's a online game where you're sharing ideas about governance.
Yes.
And right? Like all the things that are more abstract than a product.
And that's what we're living through, the democratization of knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's what because actually just this morning I learned about that
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, oh, okay, that is the world changing thing right there.
Yes.
The fact that not only are we just going to pull together and figure out how to make a computer that does this, but mm-hmm. we're pulling together to figure out how to govern the world.
Yes.
That it will work for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow.
I know.
That's pretty big.
It's pretty big.
Wow. Okay, we've just, you know, mic drop.
There you go.
We're done.
Come back next week when we solve world hunger.
Yeah.
No. Sorry, I don't mean to make light of it. But these are the sorts of brain trusts that can solve the next, well, today's problems, but also mm-hmm. tomorrow's.
Yeah. And it's like
problems.
It's all been there. And you know, anybody who's listening can say, well, we've been sharing skills and sharing knowledge forever. That's
yeah.
our nature, right?
Yeah.
It's just that now we have this purposeful space making that where we can come together as a community to do it, and purposeful, you know, like online
yes.
Of platforms
yes.
with which to do that specific
right.
thing. So it's not just about happenstance anymore. It's not just, you know.
No.
It's really about purposeful construction construction of these things.
Mm-hmm. And it's becoming mainstream.
Yeah.
And you're right. You know, a lot of people say, well, in my day we would can together or or help each other out or, you know, pass clothes down or, you know, I know we did all those things. But what I feel like the invitation is here is certainly for me as a parent to not turn into one of those parents who in 20 years from now goes, well, my day.
Yeah.
We did this. You know what? It's their day.
Yeah.
Whatever it is they need, let's figure out how to get it to them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And every day is our day.
We spend a lot of time looking back and that's important and understanding history and why our community is the way it is. But we need to spend an equal or greater amount of time looking forward, right? And I'm really focused on this. Like, we, you know, the city has a subcommittee. We're going to help the community get ready for Canada 150. And I'm very determined that, yes, there will be a historical perspective. But I also want to know, what are we giving to the next generation, right?
Yeah.
Could they have a lab? Could we have a fab lab for them? Would that be that? What an incredible
a gift.
Birthday gift that would be.
That would be the best gift to Salmon Arm for the Canada 150 celebration is a maker lab.
A youth lab. You know,
that'd be
a
so
maker
amazing.
Lab, whatever you want to call it. In fact, it's getting to the point where there's a school, I think, in the UK, and it's not a university. It's a Makerversity.
Wow.
Makerversity.
I know. That's perfect. That's exactly where it's at.
And so there isn't necessarily... You know, this, it's more free form.
Yeah.
Like, this is a place of learning, a place of opportunity, a place of knowledge. But are there professors standing at the front taking attendance and certain curriculum you have to meet?
Yeah, and marking on a bell curve and all that. Mm-mm. Yeah.
Wow. I don't do that.
Thank you for not marking on the bell curve. I was trying to explain that to the girls the other day, and I was just thinking back to how horrible that was. My first year at U of C, oh my gosh.
They bell curved you.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I was sitting at an 88% and I got a C.
Oh my gosh.
I know. But that's, you know, 500 people in the class.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
That's what happens.
All of these super high achievers were bringing up the curve and those normal folks like me thinking I'm doing pretty good here.
You got 88 in first year? Gosh, that's amazing.
Well, that was in a foundations biology course because when I went to U of C, I was in sciences. I was thinking, which is, when I think back, it's ridiculous, but I only lasted a year.
I don't think it's ridiculous at all.
Wow.
I think science and art has a lot more in common.
Absolutely. That's true. And all of those things fed my, like when I went back to school, because I only did that 1 year and then I went and worked for a few years. And then when I went back to school, all of the stuff I did for that first year university fed my decisions when I went back. So it's all important. Like even when you walk away with a whole bunch of C's, you still learned a lot of stuff.
You know what? It means you pass, you're good to go.
We're good to go.
But the other thing is we don't have to excel at everything.
Yeah.
I will never be a good wood worker.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't mind knowing how to make a bench. Just saying.
Yeah.
Right?
Or like what fun would it be to make a bench that's got crazy curlicues and, you know, something that you designed and made and now you made the product of one and there it is in your yard and you're proud of it.
A CNC machine could do it for me.
Yeah.
Just draw a picture.
Well, but that's exactly what I mean, right? Like the market of one, it's such a great opportunity. Yeah. This idea that you've had floating around your head doesn't have to be somebody else making it in Taiwan and then, you know, oh, guess what? That's what I had in my head. Mm-hmm. It's pretty rare that would happen, but... You could make what's in your head.
Yes, you could make what's in your head. It's so empowering.
It is. Yes. Just like on Big Bang Theory, did you see that episode? Probably a few years ago now when 3D printers first came out and they made action figures of themselves.
I think I do remember that episode. We watched a lot of Big Bang Theory in my house.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I think Big Bang Theory is incredibly empowering for youth.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a bit racy topic-wise, but it made science cool again.
Yeah. Yeah, you could be pretty, like high up there in the, but that's in the same way we're talking about that kind of university elite academia kind of thing, right? That would be success as a technological person or as a geek, as a formal geek. Whereas with the maker spaces, you can have the technological, like you can do the Arduino and the Raspberry Pi programming and feel like, wow, I'm doing stuff and I'm making things and I don't have to be a physics professor to do it or go to university to do it.
You don't.
So it's kind of a nice entry level.
The democratization of knowledge.
Yeah. And because technology is with us and it's going to be with us.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere.
Not going away.
Nope.
So we better just embrace it, figure out how it can make, we can make it work for us and help us be more innovative and solve better problems.
Yes.
Solve better. Have better solutions to our problems.
Yes.
You know,
or better problems would be better too, wouldn't they?
It would be nicer to have better problems.
I'm looking for a better problem. I don't like that one. I need a different one.
Yeah, I remember that saying, if we all threw our problems into a pile and saw everybody else's, we'd take ours back.
I probably would, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, but we are being more innovative every day anyway.
Yes.
So this is just another opportunity to be innovative together.
And we can't let the... There seems to be this divide, like I always come back to, oh, kids today and their cell phones and they're disconnected or they're not, you know, in my day, blah, blah, whatever.
Yeah.
We kind of have to just abandon that ship, like just let it go.
Yeah.
And think when they're looking at their phone, what are they? They could be solving a problem that could help you.
Yeah.
Vastly improve your own life.
That's right. Could restart your heart one day.
Right? So don't be never waving your finger.
Yeah.
You know,
that's right.
Be shaking their hand. What are you learning today?
Yeah.
Right?
What are you learning today?
Yes.
That's a good question to ask every day.
I try.
And now,
as the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts. Well, I found the coolest thing online.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
So you know how you can have apps for everything?
Yep.
Like you go for a walk, it tells you how many kilometers you, right?
There's an app for that.
There's an app for that. This bicyclist. I don't know if he's an artist or a cyclist or both. So he has a GIS, GPS.
I was going to say, what's a GIS? Yeah, I don't even know.
Information similar. But, so he has a GPS on his bicycle.
Okay.
And it outputs his route every day. So instead of just doing the boring straight route, he started doing doodles on his bike route so that when he would upload or download what he rode that day, it actually looks like an image. Like he did a pic one day. He did a raccoon.
What?
Yeah. So he takes the map of the city and he figures out how to do, and then he rides the route and doodles a raccoon.
Oh my gosh!
Which is uploaded on his GPS.
That is hilarious.
Bicycle. Isn't it funny?
Look, it's like this. It's like art. Oh my god!
I know.
That is so cool. Yeah.
And he's done some pretty monumental. Like he did. The big statue in Brazil, the big Jesus on top of the mountain.
Oh yeah, Jesus the Redeemer.
Yes. Yeah. He's done mushrooms, like not the mind altering kind, but a picture of mushrooms. He does elephants, airplanes. This one is awesome. He did Darth Vader.
Oh my gosh!
Right.
And it even says Lord Vader.
Vader. It's fantastic.
Oh my God.
And so talk about the cross.
Between technology,
the cross between
art.
Technology, art, fitness, healthy living.
Oh my gosh.
And humor. Oh my goodness. How fun.
He
did Michael.
Michael
Jackson? Michelangelo.
David.
Okay. David.
Michael blank and like Jackson.
Anyway, he does, and he did like dozens of them last year.
Wow.
But how fun to look on a map and then plan it all out and then go. And
I wish we'd had this for our bicycle show that we did a few years ago. That would have been so great.
I don't know. Maybe he wasn't doing it then.
Yeah. Because he's being innovative.
Yes. So I got to follow this guy on Twitter.
That is really cool. Right. Okay. So where can people find that?
Actually, it's on a website called Boom. com. It's all about art, film, photo, music, design, projects, miscellaneous, and places you can submit your work.
Wow.
Yeah.
Another online self-curating place to share unbelievable, innovative stuff.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
I'll put the link on the Facebook.
Okay. That would be great.
On the book face.
The
book of the face.
Did you hear about when Facebook... actually uses like 21% of people's time on the internet is on Facebook.
Yes.
And I can't remember who said this on the mothership on CBC, but it was as soon as it becomes 51%, then Facebook is the internet.
Oh, I heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really interesting.
It kind of is mind blowing.
Yes. And he's not even on Facebook, that guy.
Really?
Yeah. He did this whole big story. He says he's not on it because he's more introverted, not much of a sharer in that way. But he did some really interesting research about apps and let's face it, we live on our phones. Mm-hmm. That's going to keep happening. So if you have a website that is not viewable on your phone, you need to find a solution for that. Mm. Maybe hire some makers to make it work.
And that's another thing, though, too, is in a place like Salmon Arm, it's kind of hard to keep up with all of that stuff, right? Like, do we have people that do that here in Salmon Arm?
Yeah, we have lots of people who would do that.
And how do we find people that do that?
There you go. Yeah, how do you find people? Reach out to people you know whose website is mobile responsive. Mm. Or, you know, and this guy on CBC talked about apps too, providing they're properly designed, like people... I always find in business that business owners have solutions, but they don't really know what the problem is.
Yeah.
Right? So they're quick to we need this.
Right.
I need a billboard. What do you need a billboard for? Well, I don't know. Because it's a good deal.
Yeah.
Because
they're on sale.
Right. Yeah, because they're on sale, right? So we need to be back it up the bus and figure out what the problem is before you jump to the solution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good advice.
And that's what Makerspace is about.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, there isn't even a problem.
Yeah.
It's not like, well, I got to go in there and get my thingamabobber fixed up properly. Yeah. That's not what a Makerspace is about.
No, but it is kind of it's an anti-response to disposables.
Yes.
To mass production, to chain stores, right? So it is kind of solving that problem.
Yes.
It's trying to solve that sort of overproduction of things that we don't end up using and end up in landfills.
Yes, but most people go into a Makerspace with no problem to solve.
Yeah.
Other than to just learn.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I like that piece about it too.
Yeah.
It's undefined because we're so task oriented. Like I know. I need to do this and I need to do that. And I need to get this fixed. This is just space where you could just, I don't really need anything. I just kind of want to learn how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is probably hard for some people to just let go and do, right?
Like,
because there's a lot of people that are product oriented. They really do want to come out with a thing at the end.
Well, I have to say, even my kids and my husband are like, what are we going here for? Mm. You know, what purpose does this serve? I'm like, no reason. We're just going because I was curious what Arduino was.
Yeah.
And I thought it'd be a fun night out. And it was a fun night out.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that we went.
And you did it. You had a different experience.
Yes.
Which causes your brain to create different pathways.
Yes.
So your problem solving abilities have increased because of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that I feed on. I love going and figuring out new things.
Yeah.
Because as you know, I don't go to events very much, but because I'm a bit introverted, I think. I don't know why I don't go.
Is there a word for when you don't like crowds?
It's a little bit of agoraphobia.
But it's not about not going out, because you go out.
I do go out.
It's just being in noisy, crowded spaces.
Uh-huh.
So there must be there's probably an app for that.
Maybe.
Did you hear on that?
I like the people. I do. I just can't be out all the time.
Yeah.
I just find that scheduling wise for me. Oh, that was another thing. I read that. Did you read that article on Facebook about the 15 traits of very productive people?
No.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
So good.
Did I miss it?
One of them was say no more often.
Oh.
Which I thought was fantastic.
Yeah.
Because we don't create enough scarcity. Another one was keep different days for different projects.
Hmm. Well, that's a good idea.
So compartmentalize.
Yeah. You know, like
this day is for this work. This day is for that. Yeah. Anyway, they had a whole big list of things you could do. And so for me, Saturday, Sunday is my detached from work days.
Yeah.
Right. And when I go out, I'm hit up about work when I go out, whether it's the city or.
Yeah.
Or work. So.
Yeah.
But having said that, there are plenty of things to be doing this weekend.
Yeah. Well, except I wanted to point out, because last weekend was Valentine's Day, I was really disappointed that Valentine's Day fell on Laundry Day.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, there you go, compartmentalizing.
But you know, Sundays is kind of that day, yes. right? And then there's Valentine's Day and you're doing laundry and like trying to
shake it up a bit.
Soup and yeah, that's true. But I like
every
that
idea.
Every
day is laundry day at my house. But I do one load a day. That way I sort of, and if I don't do one load a day, then every Sunday is laundry day.
But maybe a person can be more productive by designating days for things in your work life mm-hmm. so that, because what I find is sometimes it becomes laundry day only because we got so busy during the week that mm-hmm. nothing else got done. But I'm just thinking about at work, like what if Tuesday was grant day and Wednesday was website update day?
It takes
right?
some time.
Like it might be effective to, you know, to kind of break it up like yes. that and then make sure that then by the end of the day, you're feeling very accomplished mm-hmm. because you focused on that one thing. Mm-hmm. I like that idea. Mm-hmm. Might have to try it.
Anyway, we should go to a yes. makerspace and figure it out.
Maybe we should. But sorry, I interrupted. Yes, upcoming
events. No, I was
just
going to say there's lots of upcoming events.
There is. And
which hopefully our sponsor, Anonymous, will be attending.
I'm sure Anonymous will be there.
And then she strikes me as a fan of interesting movies.
Yes.
Yes.
Probably. Yes. We'll be at a lot of the films at the film festival, mm-hmm. which is a week long or like actually 9 days long starting this Friday. Mm-hmm. And you can get the whole program on shoesupfilm.net.
Yes.
Their film festival guide. And then we have Real Lunch at the Gallery on Sunday.
Yes.
Only Sunday.
Creating scarcity.
Yes.
We said no to Saturday.
We just said no to Saturday.
Yes.
It was crazy when we think about it, doubling programs on the same day. So Family Saturdays is getting busier and busier and busier. And then adding Real Lunch onto that was madness these last couple of years. Like, really? We've mm-hmm. got to stop this nonsense. And mm-hmm. then, you know, it's just about making sure that our resources are used wisely.
Yes.
And we want people to feel like happy and that's a dedicated space for that kind of gathering and yes. conversation and everything. And it'll be good.
Plus there's every restaurant in town's open on Saturday.
Exactly. So, yeah. We don't want to be competition. No. We want to be fun and different and make it an event.
Lovely.
Yeah. That's right. So Sunday only 11:30 to 1 is Real Lunch on the 21st. And Saturday's our usual Family Saturdays program. Tomorrow, so anybody listening live right now and not on the podcast will get the artist talk and coffee break at the gallery for the members show.
Wonderful.
So it's a Thursday, February, what day is it today? The 17th? So the 18th.
Yes.
And it's a walkabout because in a members show, we have like 40 odd artists, right? So we do a walkabout where we just kind of walk around the gallery as a big group.
Nice.
And any artist who's there gets to talk about their work for a couple minutes.
Yes.
And it works out very nicely. You can ask questions.
That's right. The gallery
share
kind of
information.
Like a community makerspace too.
It is.
A lot of things get made there.
We do have yes. lots of, you know, collaborative and, you know, kind of work together to make something mm-hmm. kind of projects. And
yes.
then, so it's not all just stuff that goes up on the wall.
Now, if we could just get a 3D printer, maybe a book binding machine. What else do we need? A recording studio. Anyway, I could go on and on.
A laser cutter.
A laser cutting machine. That's a CNC machine. But let this
some
be the beginning
pies.
Of a maker lab for Salmon Arm.
Yeah.
Right? And then not to mention all the uber super brainiac talent in this town who
yeah.
might come out and teach kids how to do this stuff.
Yeah. So. It's technological DIY.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. And it's going to happen because it's so big. Like, mm-hmm. and like I said, libraries, schools, everybody kind of starting to get on board, understanding
yep.
the potential for this. So it's going to be good.
It sure is.
We just have to make room in our brains for it to happen.
Make room for makerspace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's definitely space in Salmon Arm where this could potentially happen.
Oh yeah.
And you can expand, right? Like you can start in a small room and then expand to, you know, to whatever you need. In fact, some have expanded to be huge buildings and industrial parks. Oh, Louise is done.
I got so excited. I must have breathed wrong. Now I can't talk anymore.
Yeah. But. So for more arts events information, you can check our website at salmonarmartcenter.ca. Click on participate and you'll see the
have
listing.
Have a drink of water.
Yeah, have
Click
a drink
on
of water.
Participate.
And you'll see a listing by date of arts events coming up. And then you can watch us on Facebook and see things that are coming up. Salmon Arm Arts Center on Facebook. And then you can see Twitter has, what am I called on Twitter? SAG Curator, S-A-G Curator. You can follow us on there. So there you go. Have a great week, everybody. And we will try to make space in our world for thinking about makerspaces.
A makerspace.
And if in the meantime, you have the ability to go and visit one, Kamloops has one, and they have workshops.
Kelowna, and, Vancouver, yeah. Edmonton.
Check it out.
Yes.
All right. And thank you again, everyone, for listening.
And make something and let us know what you made. Yeah, we'll talk about it next week.
Share.
Yay.
See you next time.